Announcements. So I just wanted to share a couple things. One is, some of you know that I'm not normally up here because Tabitha is normally up here, but Tabitha's son, Zachary, if you don't know, had open heart surgery last Thursday. It was not a surprise. They've known about this since he was born, but he did great, and he is actually home this morning, and it's amazing. Like, if you see, I was going to show you a picture, but like, it's amazing that a kid who has like a scar from here to here is literally like standing up and walking around right now. Like, praise the Lord. So anyway, keep them in your prayers, but it's been a pretty amazing thing. I know we have new babies this morning. So I know we have Karen is here. Hi, Karen. And you had a little girl on December 31st. How fun is that? What's her name? Luciana. Welcome back, Karen, Luciana. So cute. And she, this is number two for you, right? Number two. Awesome. And then I know Cody is here, and Cody had, I know, tell, so the name is ABC. It's Abby, Addison, Blessing, Craig. And Daddy's in the back. Yay! I love it. So Cody was here at the last meeting and got a call that she had to go get induced right after Sprouts last time. And then 40 hours later, there she was. So welcome back. And then I feel like we have more new babies. Yes, I'm kidding. I see pointing. Who's back there? Rachel. And Rachel had? Hattie. Congratulations. Is this number one? Oh, number three. All right. So we have one, two, three. I love it. Do we have any more? Because there's always more. Who's next? Who's next? Who's having a baby in the next month? Kristen, I know. Please. I love it. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. We're glad to have you. Okay. Are you guys ready for today's topic? Everybody's being quiet. I'm going to bring up my friend Tara. So Tara Mattson is with us this morning, and Tara is a marriage and family therapist at Living Wholehearted. And Living Wholehearted is an amazing organization that is has both therapy, but kids and play therapy, and then also for couples and adults. They also have a great retreat center that our Sprouts leadership team has had the privilege to go spend retreat time out there the last couple of years, and they just do amazing work. And she's going to tell you more about just upcoming things that they're out at the retreat center as well. But this morning, obviously, she's going to be talking about intimacy and other things. So we just want you guys to know that we will have a time for questions at the end. It's an awkward thing to ask questions, but one thing I wanted to tell you is we won't record that part, Brenton. So we'll take out we'll take out the questions. We won't record anything. So don't feel like you're going to be like in perpetuity on podcasts from asking something. That would be really weird. But anyway, I'm going to pray for Tara, and then I'm going to let her get started. So Father, we just thank you so much for having us all here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for Tara's heart and just her desire to share this topic with women this morning. And we just thank you for the way she's blessed our ministry over the last 5 years, Lord. She's just been such a friend to so many of us and really blessed so many of our hearts. So Lord, I just ask that this morning that you would speak through her and that, Lord, the hearts in the room that may be tender on this topic would be softened and smoothed out just by what she has to say. We know that you're a God who redeems all things, and so we just open ourselves up to that this morning. So we love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you. All right, let's all just get it out. Everyone say sex.
Sex.
Say it one more time. Sex. All right, so just by saying it, it'll calm your body just a little bit. Maybe one more thing. Just look to the woman next to you and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Okay. Whew. All right. So I just have to tell you, I talk about sex all the time, and I still get nervous every time I talk about it. And I think the nerves for me is not so much the topic, but just knowing the breadth of people's stories and the impact that sex alone has on so many levels. And so I'm holding that today, knowing that there is all kinds of trauma and even betrayal and all kinds of things that we wrestle with and are confused by. And today we're actually just talking on as much as we can on a practical level of how do we help our sex lives move towards healthy in light of being too pooped to whoop, okay? I don't know if you're like me, but as soon as I had my first baby, everything in my body completely changed and was like, there is no way that these things are going to ever be touched sexually again. Like, there's such a weird dynamic that changes, and they become feeding machines, like a cow, and it just feels very different. They don't feel very sensual anymore. And if they never did, then it's even harder, okay? So just realizing that having babies and moving through young kids is a very hard season for sexual intimacy. It is for everyone. So let's just put that out there. And if you're in a small category where you're like, my sex life is awesome, then I hope today we can just move it a little bit forward for you. But for the most part, majority of us in here are just saying, hey, it's hard. All healthy sexual relationships, you have to work at it. It doesn't come natural. So that is just a given. And when you're taking two people who have very different stories, different connotations for sex, period, who have grown up in different cultures, home-wise, church-wise, even maybe culturally different, and trying to meld those together in a place called intimacy, it gets difficult. So with that as the premise, I want us to just laugh a little bit, to know that that's really the bottom line, is to be able to not take ourselves so seriously. So it also helps our nerves. So we're going to just laugh a little bit about sex and just some of the commonalities that we all have.
We'll do another song.
That's right, baby. Girl, tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know, baby? 'Cause it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we make love. Tuesday night's the night that we go and visit your mother, but Wednesday night is the night that we make love. 'Cause everything is just right. Conditions are perfect. There's nothing good on TV. Conditions are perfect. You're leaning close and say something sexy like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. I know what you're trying to say, baby. You're trying to say, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time. What you're trying to say, you're trying to say, let's get down to business, it's business time. It's business, it's business time. Next thing you know, we're in the bathroom, brushing our teeth. That's all part of it, that's foreplay. Then you go sort out the recycling, that's not part of it, but it's still very important. Then we're in the bedroom. You're wearing that ugly old baggy t-shirt from that team building exercise you did for your old work. And it's never looked better on you. Oh, team building exercise 99. Oh, you don't know what you're doing to me. I remove my jeans, but trip over them because I still got my shoes on. But then I turn it into a sexy dance. Next thing you know, I'm down to just my socks. And you know when I'm down to just my socks, what time it is. It's time for business. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
You know when I'm down to just my socks, it's time for business. That's why they call business socks.
It's business. It's business time.
Making love, making love for two, making love for 2 minutes. When it's with me, you only need 2 minutes, 'cause I'm so intense. 2 minutes in heaven is better than 1 minute in heaven. You say something like,
is that it?
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, oh yeah, that's it. Then you tell me you want some more. Well, I'm not surprised. But I'm quite sleepy.
It's business! It's business time!
Business hours are over, baby.
It's business!
I just laugh every time I see that. It's just so true. Like, there's just so many little quirks in there that crack me up. So in terms of sexual intimacy, there is a greater purpose than just 2 minutes. The idea of sexual intimacy was created. It was created by God, and the purpose was that we would not be alone. It's really the dessert on top of a really nice meal. And so much of culture has turned it into we eat dessert first, and we're not so hungry for the rest of the meal anymore. It was meant to be the closing kind of, we are one, and we are committed to one another, and this is the only place that we share this. No, I don't share this with anyone else. That's the intent. You know, God created Adam in the garden. And God, Adam had everything. He had even a really intimate relationship with God. He had the animals. He had this beautiful creation. He had a wonderful job. And God said, it's not good for you to be alone. You still need something else. And so then he creates woman. So even with a relationship with God, there is a great purpose for having a woman in a man's life and a great purpose for having a man in our lives. And that purpose can be all kinds of things, but really, it kind of, you know, Genesis continues by saying, the man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. My friend and I were joking about the fact that, of course, they had a wonderful sex life. There was no laundry. They were naked. It was free. They didn't have any chores to figure, you know, worry about. But the idea that sexual intimacy would be a place where we would feel no shame, where we would be able to be in all our flaws and all our natural kind of, obviously Adam was probably, or Eve was probably this beautiful figure, but my guess is she was probably really curvy. She didn't go to Pilates every day. She was eating from the garden and having all kinds of good food, and she hadn't really seen a mirror, so she didn't really have an idea of what her body looked like, so she was free. She was just free to be herself, and Adam was just so in awe. He's like, woman, woo. And there's this freedom that we see in the garden before the fall. And that's really the idea of where we're wanting to head in our emotional and relational intimacy that transfers into the bedroom. That's a really hard thing to get to in light of our humanity and all the issues that we have. I want to give you kind of a bigger context to what the Bible talks about sexual intimacy and the greater purposes. And then we're going to move towards practical eventually, okay? But the greater purposes, according to the scriptures, are procreation, okay? So one of the reasons for sex is for us to be able to have children and to be able to continue a legacy and to populate the planet, okay? It's for pleasure. There are actual places in your body, biological places, that are created for no other reason but pleasure, to experience an orgasm. There's nothing else. Most things in our body have multi-purposes, right? They're not just sexual in nature. They've got other reasons. But there are pieces of our body that are just pleasure-oriented only. And that just tells us that there's something that God designed for us to enjoy, and that in and of itself is a very good thing. To release, okay? There is a true chemical buildup within our bodies. Men particularly get it more than we do. But sex is a way of releasing stress and staying regulated over a period of time. And so anger actually builds within the body when you haven't been able to have sex for a long time. Women have it too, but we get a little more irritated. Men get a little more aggressive. And sex can be a means of releasing that and having just regular self-care in a way. I know that sounds, for some of you, that just sounds so weird, but I will bring it all full circle eventually, okay? The other one is comfort. Sex can be a form of being able to draw near to one another and, again, feel almost like your baby in your arms when they're naked and you're naked. Have any of you ever experienced that? And just that comfort of skin to skin, flesh to flesh, that is the same thing that can be experienced between a man and a woman. And that is something that a lot of us women don't think about. We definitely think about it for our children. But to think about it in terms of being comforted through sexual intimacy. At that point, it's less about the orgasm or the pleasure of it and more about just being together, naked and unashamed. Bonding. Sexual intimacy is really the cement for man and woman. We get this hormone called oxytocin every time we nurse our babies. It's an attachment hormone, and it helps our babies feel like they know they belong to us, and we want to care and continuing nurturing them through every time we nurse, okay? The same thing happens when we have sexual intimacy. We are attaching to that person. It's a bonding agent, and it reminds us, it's kind of the glue. I belong to you, you belong to me, and I feel connected to you, literally from a biochemistry place, okay? So it has a purpose for that. And the final and kind of the bigger one we talk a lot about as Christians is it's our commitment place. You know, really in the Jewish culture, sex was the I do. You weren't married until you consummated, had sex. I get the fact that majority of the women in here did not wait till they were walking down the aisle to have sex for the first time, let alone to have sex with their husband, okay? So I get that, and that is actually a majority, but it plays a role in the impact in our sexual intimacy with one another. And the commitment is really, that was God's plan, with that it would be the final piece that would draw us together, and it'd be a continual commitment. Every time I'm coming to you and I'm choosing you. I want to just say that there are issues we're not going to talk about today, but if they're a part of your story, you need more help than just a podcast or some kind of a talk about sex, books. These are important issues, and it's hard, I think, for you guys to see, so I'll just run through them real quick. Extramarital affairs, domestic violence, sexual dysfunction, childhood sexual abuse, infertility, pornography, and sexual addiction are all serious issues. And sexual intimacy has a really hard time flourishing, healthy sexual intimacy, when any of those are present. And so you have to be willing to press in and to deal and to process with those if you're wanting to move towards what we're going to be talking about in terms of sexual healthy sexual intimacy. So I'll just say that is something that is important and I'm taking into account today, that all these things that I'm going to be saying are not talking to you. So just if you do a couple practical things are not going to solve the issues. So these are bigger and need professional help, okay? But I'm also going to just say is there is no room for porn in healthy sexuality. And I say that because so many couples that I sit with, it's such an accepted piece of our culture. We don't think twice about it or we don't want to know. And even as believers, a lot of Christians don't even realize that pornography is not healthy. There's a sense of, I know it's not okay, but they don't realize the ramifications. Put morals aside, put the Bible aside. Our sexual research now shows us that pornography destroys any sort of healthy sexuality. It destroys it. And there's lots of research out there. There's great TED Talks. Say No to Porn, The Great Porn Experiment, if you wanted to look at some of those. They have great research that show all these things, but it actually diminishes sexual pleasure over time, and it creates a need for more and more and more and more and more. It's as addictive as heroin. It's not something you can mess with and watch once in a while. So if my husband tells me he sees porn every few months, he's looking at it more than that. It's not something that you can just kind of casually use. I can't shoot heroin up every once in a while, okay? So I'm just going to say that's something that you're going to have to process if you know that's in the picture at all. It skews sexual expectations. So the desire that we want for sexual intimacy is completely skewed on what is healthy, what's normal, even how the woman's body works. All pornography makes us out to be sex fiends, and we go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. That's just not reality. It's not reality. And so it's giving this picture that's not accurate. It objectifies men and women. It supports a destructive industry, sex trafficking. Most of those women in the porn industry are a part of the sex trafficking, and so we're participating in that. It creates anxiety, depression, insecurity, and erectile dysfunction. That's a getter. Most men are like, oh, I didn't know that. Okay. But that's the increase of sexual erectile dysfunction in the late 30s and 40s can be highly connected to years of use of pornography. So it's same with ongoing masturbation, okay? All right, I know you're all really uncomfortable now, so we'll move into some of the lighter stuff. But I just have to say that up front because none of this is going to help what we move forward with if this pornography is in the picture. It's like trying to drink pure water out of a water bottle that has poop in it. You're trying to pour fresh spring water into it. Just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Bad analogy, but you're all moms, so you can handle poop. All right, so ultimately sex is about, do you choose me? I want my husband of all the things that he is being drawn to, whether it's work, whether it's his hobbies. He's an avid fly fisherman. He could go to the river anytime, any moment like that. Or all the other women that are wooing him throughout the day, whether it's the billboards or the women at work. I want to know, do you choose me? Do you choose me? And ultimately, that is the question your husband is asking too. He doesn't say it in that way. But out of the boxes of chocolate, you know, the chocolates out of the box of chocolate, are you going to choose me? Am I your favorite out of all the options? Inquiring minds want to know. This is one of those things where as women, we compare ourselves all the time, but we don't really talk about it. This is great. Sometimes I feel that I have the worst job in the world, says the toothbrush. Yeah, right. So that's the toilet paper. The reality is we do so much comparing. I have it worse, or I don't have it as bad as that person. And the truth is we can't really do compare. We can't compare. Our stories are our own. And we have to be able to process our own story and what is our healthy sexuality going to look like. And that looks different for every woman and every man. There are some boundaries here of this is not healthy sexuality, but there is a lot of room in there. And so when we actually take surveys of women, we found out that only half of women experience orgasm. There's half of you in this room that don't even know what an orgasm feels like or would know if you've had one. And then the other fact is that you're only having an orgasm every once in a while if you're having one. For those of you that have orgasm all the time, it's probably because you've spent a good amount of time getting to know your body and maybe have some healthy connections with your sexuality, or you have some hormones kicking in. You have some more hormones that some of us don't have. So there's, again, a lot of variety. But the truth is that if we were to really talk, how many orgasms have you had this week? It's hard to compare, okay? We all have our own kind of journey, and we have to figure out what that is with our husbands. One of the key factors is knowing that sex, I hear this all the time, that my husband feels loved through sex. Yes, he does. Sex is to a man like communication is to a woman. I remember sitting down with my husband, we're sitting down on the couch, and I'm like, honey, I really need to talk. And he's like, I'm really tired. And I was like, no, I really need to talk. He's like, I'm really tired. And I, in that moment, I had this aha. I was like, oh, this is how he feels. When he says, hey, baby. Well, he doesn't do it that way. But if he was. And I'm like, oh, I'm too tired. And it got us into a conversation about that connection. And it was so real for so many men. They just are wanting to connect with us the same way we want to have a heart-to-heart conversation with over a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and just to hear our hearts. It's the same thing for men. And if we can frame it that way, it doesn't sound so exhausting. I mean, for a husband to really understand that his wife has some things she wants to share or things she wants to know about him, if he could really get that and realize we're not just trying to nag or wah, 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 there would be a huge shift in our emotional intimacy. The same for us, if we can understand that there's a deep need in there. Now, I laugh because I think 100% of men in my office say sex is their love language. I don't really think that's true. I think they've just learned that's the only way they feel close to you. And so part of a man's journey is learning how to connect with his wife outside of the bedroom, which is a huge factor for us. We don't feel very sexual or want to connect with them unless they've actually pursued us outside of the bedroom. So it is something that men need to work on and grow in. But the way God designed them is that they do feel chemistry changes and they want to talk to us and be closer to us when they have experienced that sexual release. And just like if we were to have this long, deep conversation, we are more likely to open up sexually, okay? So why did God make it that way? Because it just seems like this crazy puzzle, and really it's about creating a selflessness and helping us to choose the higher good for one another. And if two people are doing that, that's amazing. That's really the design. And really, for change to happen, sometimes it just takes one person to start shifting. Here's the thing, though. I do not believe at all in sexual duty, like just have sex with your husband because he'll die if he doesn't. It's not true. He can actually live his whole life without sex. It's like living your whole life without dessert. You can do it. You can totally do it. And so I don't believe that we have to have sex with our husbands or they're going to explode. But the truth is that there is something it unlocks for them, and it just helps soften them. And so if your husband's, you know, intense or grumpy or you just are having a hard time liking him, just it can be an avenue to helping soften him. Okay? Chemistry, we're very, 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 very different. No brainer, right? But the truth is that again, that pornography and cultural influences that have taught us that us women can go from 0 to 60 is so counter what our chemistry is. We are, have anybody heard that we're like crockpots and men are like microwaves when it comes to sexual intimacy? It's true. It takes 2 minutes. Literally, that song right there, 2 minutes. That's how long it takes for a man to reach orgasm. So his work is he has to learn how to slow it down for the sake of his wife, who takes anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes before our chemistry starts pumping. And that's if we're not tired, the dishes are done, the laundry's put away, the stars have aligned, okay? So the idea that our hormones are different, it takes us a while to warm up. And so it's all about the chemistry. I know that once a month, I get a surge of hormones. I call it my horny hormones, and it's once a month. Most of you get that same hormone. Some of you don't even get it because your cycle's not regular. But if you have a just kind of a typical women's cycle, once a month, and the reason we get that surge of horniness is that's your ovulation. It's time to go mate so you can have a baby, okay? That's really the point. But the rest of the month, we have to work at it. We have to work at it. We have to actually think about sex and like plan out like the whole process. And then we have to be wooed and we have to be like softened and the, you know, sit and watch your husband do dishes for a while. And like everything has to be, and my children can't have touched me all day long. Like I need to have had no touch time. There's just so many things that work for us. But I think the main idea is just knowing it takes a while. And that's normal. So if your husband's having orgasm in 2 minutes and you're just now getting around the idea of having sex, to start talking about that and shifting and maybe starting to figure out what is it that you need. It's taken me, I've been married 15 years, together 20 years with my husband. And we actually waited. We were dated 5 years. We waited until we were married to have sex. I don't say that to be like, we are something great. We were like barely making it over the finish line. But the truth was, is that it took another 10 years to figure out what the heck my body needed to get turned on. It just takes a while. And having babies in there and chemistry, it takes 2 years just for us to recover from one child before our bodies feel back to normal, whatever normal is, okay? So I'm just saying to give us a lot of grace. Give us grace. And to also know that you need to work at it a little bit. Think about it. So for me, I know that water, warm water, showers, bubble baths, candlelight, no laundry in the bedroom, dishes done. That's my formula. That's actually it. And so we figured that out. And if I actually know ahead of time, like I don't do really well with the, hey, baby, you want to do it now? Kind of have to think about it. Okay, some of you might be more spontaneous than me, but I'm a little more of a planner, okay? So just talking about different chemistry, and that literally a man, I want to say this last thing about hormones. Men are not looking at the shape of your body as much as it is your actual private parts. Okay, so why I say that is it frees us up to not have to have these like perfect bodies, because if you have breasts, and you have a vagina, you're good to go. Okay? Honestly, and I've learned so much in the therapy room from my clients. But the science is that we get so hung up. That's a cultural issue. And honestly, it's a pornography issue as well. And so when you take that out of the room, men just want to be close to you. And if you do not have to have this wonderful body, in fact, you don't even have to do anything different. Why I encourage us to take care of our bodies is that it helps our hormones, it helps our chemistry, it helps our confidence. I feel more sensual when I feel like I'm taking care of my body, even if it looks exactly the same. I've had lots of body types, by the way, so I stand up here telling you, I feel like I've got the best body type that I've had in the last 20 years. That's so random and weird for me because I've been on all different levels, okay? But what I've seen is that regardless, it's how I'm taking care of my body, it's all about my mindset. And that's not just me, that's actually the way women work. So working out helps us just feel better, that's all. It's not about, did all of those dimples go away? Nope, they're still there, okay? He's not looking. And if you're concerned, turn the lights out. So that helps, okay? But it's really true for them that you just have to mention sex or like just kind of do a little hip thing and their chemistry goes like that. It doesn't take much. And so here's the key. I wanna show us another video. I like videos. I'm not super funny, so I use these videos to help with laughter, but empathy.
Did you know
is
that according
key.
To women, childbirth is the worst kind of pain there is?
And did you know, according to women, that us men can't handle any of it?
Well, did you know that, according to men, women exaggerate everything?
Everything.
That's why we decided to make an appointment with Dr. Julie Masters.
What we're going to do today is we're going to put some electrode simulations on your abdomen, which are going to give you some contractions, so we can kind of simulate contractions to show what your wife went through during labor.
That sounds fun.
Well, we're going to hook you up right now.
All right.
Go ahead and lay back.
Okay.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Here are your wives.
Hey, guys.
I got to remember my breathing.
Well, that's different.
Talk to me right now.
So you're almost getting to like the active stage of labor where it's really getting good.
All right.
Here we go.
That had to be at least, I'm hoping it's a 7. That's a 7?
No, you're at a 4.
Stop smiling!
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Talk about this.
Sorry, gonna do that. That was not good.
Sucked. That sucked. It was horrible.
Better than you thought or worse?
A lot worse.
A lot worse.
I'm telling you right now, I felt like I was having a baby.
Mom, if anything that I just experienced is anywhere close to what I did to you all those years ago, I'm sorry. You're like a superhero. You're one tough mama. Mm. Happy Mother's Day.
You went tough, mama. I love it. But just the idea that those men even took time to really try to experience what their wives have gone through. You know, again, we don't realize what it's like to be in each other's shoes until we really try and make that effort. And I'm not saying that you need to understand every aspect of your husband's life, but just to realize that empathy is a piece of kind of going, okay, he's a man. His hormones are shifting like this. He feels connected to me when we have sexual intimacy. He's been stressed all day at work. It's a release. It's a comfort. There's pleasure. How can we create a place where this can be a part? And then being able to talk to him about what it's like for you. And what, after being touched all day and having to care for, and how it would be really nice if we had a little bit more thought out plan, and we spent a half hour talking on the couch first before we actually went right for you grabbing my breast, you know, those kinds of things. So in terms of empathy, being able to say, let's have a conversation about what it's like for us first before we just kind of start shifting. But it really is the key. And it did change my whole world when I sat on that couch and realized Jeff was too tired to listen to me. I was like, oh, that just. So it gave me some great compassion. From a practical level, again, we've talked about the fact that there's a lot of factors that are going into sexual intimacy, but just on some practical pieces, I want to give you some tips. And maybe one of these will be a tip that you can hold on to. Some of these you're already doing, and you'll go, yes, points for me, okay? But don't feel like you have to do all of these, okay? Just pick one. Just pick one. It's enough to even be here today. I'm, like, really impressed with these new babies and all. So, okay, so first one, non-sexual touch. How often do you actually touch each other without it being? And some of you are like, if I even dare touch my husband, he thinks we're having sex, okay? So that would be something you just need to talk about with him and say, you know what? What I learned is, as women, we just need lots of non-sexual touch. What's that? You know? Well, when you were dating, you got a lot of it. When you were dating. And women always say, how come I was so horny and I wanted him all the time when we were dating, and then something changed when we got married? This is it. Non-sexual touch goes out the door. Holding hands, sitting close on the couch, being able to actually kiss each other high and bye. Those are simple things that go out the door quickly, right? I know for me, when I was having my little ones, the first thing when Jeff was coming through the door was I was handing him a baby and saying, I'm going to take a long shower. See you later. Last thing I thought about was actually giving him a hug or you know, a smile, some sort of connection. But it actually increases your oxytocin, your connection. So if you have a hard time liking him, try touching him for 30 seconds. And you'll be surprised. I'm being serious. So we have this joke, but it actually is, science has backed it up, that if you hold each other and you hug each other for 30 seconds, one, two, three, four, your body starts to soften and you get a huge dose of oxytocin. So put that in the equation one time a week. Tell him you need a little bit more of that. I love this picture. This is Grandma and Grandpa Bowerly. These are Jeff's grandparents. They're 95 and 93, have been married 73 years. And I just peeked over the church pew one day and saw them holding each other's hands. I thought, 73 years of marriage, and they still touch. They do a lot of touching. He pinches her butt. But in terms of non-sexual touch, it's a huge equation to moving towards the bedroom. So starting there. And you don't even have to ask for it. You can actually extend it. You'll be surprised. It helps him soften as well. Set the scene. Think about your bedroom. What does your bedroom look like, feel like? Is it romantic in any way? If you have a TV in there, it's got to get out. It's the number one thing that ruins sleep and sex lives. TV. I know a lot of you are going, huh? I don't know if that's going to work. You need to start thinking about it. Treadmills shouldn't be in the bedroom. Okay? Think about your laundry pile. your toys, all the things that start to gather in the bedroom because you don't want your guests to see them in the living room, okay? Piles of bills. I think it's my very first house. I decorated the whole house and I left the bedroom last. And I remember like realizing how hard it was for me to actually want to connect with Jeff in there. I realized, why did I wait till the end? So from that point forward, all my other houses, the bedroom was the first thing to get decorated and to get loved on and get cared. Candles, what do you smell in there? Does it smell like old stinky laundry? His BO workout shirts? Or does it smell like something that would make you feel more sensual and more feminine, okay? Think about what you see. All those distractions need to be gone. Do you like the colors? Talk about what you hear. Okay, is there soft music in there? What is it that helps you get in the mood? Maybe you like country. Maybe you like blues. I don't know, classic rock. But what kind of sounds help you feel like you actually want to connect with him? Okay, baby monitors. That's kind of hard. So turning those down actually for a little bit of time can help you actually engage your husband. Because if you're like me, the moment I hear a little peep out of my little one, oh, body shut down. We're done. Because I'm always concerned or waiting to hear. So giving yourself a chance to turn that static down or turn it off for that time. Thinking about sounds, okay? Touch. Think about what are your sheets feel like. Think about the kind of bubble baths or soaps that you use. All those things help to shift your chemistry and to help you feel more present. That's really what we're wanting to do because us women multitask like no other. We can be in one place, but we're thinking about the grocery list and the needs of the kids and all these other things in our head. And when you are adjusting your five senses to your bedroom, it helps you be more there. Okay? That makes sense? There's a lot there. I could spend the whole time talking about just that, but just think practically, okay? Move the laundry out of your room. The other thing is we have to think about sex a lot because we don't have the same chemistry as men, okay? We just don't, and sex often is one of the last things we're thinking about. So one of the things is to pick up a book and to read about healthy sexuality, have it near your bedside, and every once in a while, just look at it. Whenever I teach these classes, guess what happens to my sex life? Kind of goes up a little because I'm thinking about it more and I'm being reminded of the things that I, you know, forget, okay? So I have a couple of things. Dr. Kevin Lehman, he's hilarious. So if you just want something light, good tips. He's got sheet music and under the sheets and just, yeah, he cracks me up anytime I'm reading. Intimate Issues is just for women, and it's a great book that just helps us work through all our personal journey with sexual intimacy. Has great practical stuff, but it also helps us talk through some of the things in our story as well. So it can be a great one to do with another friend. If you're kind of going, well, we need a lot of help outside of the bedroom before I even want to get into the bedroom, a book like 30 Day Marriage Makeover. It's got great little practical tips of how to move towards your husband. And how he can move towards you. Guys need success. They are so overwhelmed when we ask them to do something and they don't know how, and they're set up for failure. So great little short tips, like I just need help. I just need 30 minutes to talk before. Could you do the dishes for me before we move into the bedroom? Would you be willing to read this one page? In this book, it helps explain where I'm at today. Little tips go a long, long way. It's not because they're dumb. It's just that they, you know, it's not their bent to be spending all this energy. Sex comes easy for them. For us, it takes work. So think sex, and then think outside the box a little bit. Sex is not just intercourse. So a lot of times we can't have intercourse. Maybe it's because we're having babies. Maybe it's because we're sick for a while. Maybe it's because... So sex is not just those orgasm, intercourse kinds of things. Sex can be a lot of variety of things. And so there's a room and freedom in God's kingdom for us to think outside the box a little bit, okay? So when you've got a lot of little kids, it might be put on a show for them. Go take a shower. Your kids won't know what you're doing. and you're now moving sex from the bed to the bathroom. Okay, not super romantic, but sometimes more practical in certain seasons of life. But don't always get fixated on it has to be a long program. Sex can be very short, and that's okay. It actually can be relieving for us as women. We might only want a long program one time a month. The rest of the time, 2 minutes works, okay? That's all I got time for. So think about sex. You also want to actually put it on your schedule. Some people just think this is the worst thing ever. I miss the spontaneous, passionate, but do you know what? If you know your chemistry, you know you have to think about it. You also need to put it on your calendar so you can kind of think. Now, don't tell him, just in case you need to change it on your calendar, okay? Don't tell him. But for you, just your own little, and go, okay, when was the last time I connected and I pursued him? So maybe Tuesday seemed to be a good day because the kids are in preschool and I actually have some downtime. I'll feel a little bit more relaxed, okay? So in your head, he might pick up on the pattern that every Tuesday you're pursuing him. But I would say that if it's not on your radar in your schedule, you're probably going to see a month go by, or he's going to feel like he's nagging you all the time. Okay, so this puts it a little bit more on your plate, and you feel like you have a say in it. And he's going to feel more pursued. He's going to feel more loved. He's going to want to talk to you more. Okay, so a rhythm, some sort of a rhythm. Once a week might feel like a lot right now for some of you, and that's okay. You don't have to do it once a week. But I would say if you can get to an ideal, healthy place at some point in your marriage, once a week is a great rhythm. Otherwise, if you think about once a month, it's like I don't talk to my husband at all, except for once a month. That's too long. It's too long. So thinking about once a week, my husband and I have a rhythm. We have time to talk about business stuff, business time. No, we talk about actual business stuff. One time a week, we have connecting emotional stuff, like what's on our heart. That's a different conversation, another time a week. And then there's sexual intimacy, another time a week. That's kind of a rhythm or a routine that we've moved towards. It hasn't always been like that, but knowing there's a rhythm in our marriage gives us a lot of grace when it can't be like that. When there's no, when you feel like, I don't know when the next time is we're going to have sex, that's when panic starts to set in for men and they start going kind of being pouty or doing the things they do. Okay. All right. So enough about them. Learning to unplug and talk, okay? This is really, 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 really important. All of our devices interfere with sexual intimacy, all of them. So Facebook, always like on Pinterest, watching TV all the time as a routine before bed. Think about shifting and having at least one night a week where you guys unplug and you actually just connect. No, that's why I said no TV in the bedroom. Make it a sacred space. Being able to actually let our brains calm down. Technology is making us ADD. And so it's really hard to be present sexually if I've just been on a device all day. It's the same for your husbands. So just talking about having some kind of a rhythm. Remember, I don't want you to do all of these things. I want you to pick one. Where are you drawn to? What is the one thing that you feel like you want to start implementing into your relationship, okay? Because I know I'm overwhelming you with a lot of ideas. But think about just one. This one just says is use your voice, okay? Your husband is not a mind reader. He has no clue what you like. The only thing he knows is to push certain buttons. He thinks, well, if I just touch her in this way, then she did it like that last week. No, it changed this week. Every single week, every single day, our bodies have a different hormone shift. And so today is different than yesterday. Today is definitely different from last month. So we actually have to tell our husbands what we like, what we don't like. If that's uncomfortable for us, we want to work towards that and maybe try to move towards. If that's not at all, go for it. Be more vocal. And if you can talk about it outside the bedroom, maybe it makes it easier inside the bedroom. But just in more neutral time, just talking about things like, I really like it when you actually you know, kiss my neck, or that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Well, maybe don't say it like that. But it's really uncomfortable with me when you kiss my neck, okay? Well, you liked it last time. Well, last time I didn't say anything. But actually moving forward, we want to talk. We want to tell them. They do not know. And all they're doing is trying to please you. Do you know that a man who is pleasing his wife sexually has the most satisfaction in his sex life? They've done surveys of all kinds of men at every stage of life, and they found that as one common factor. The ones that are most satisfied, their wives feel like their husbands pursue them and actually think about their wives' sexuality and are interested in pleasing her. That makes a man feel like a man. So let's help him out a little bit. Okay, do it with gentleness and love. But speak up. And focus on the donut, not the hole. I actually had to do this last night. I always get attacked. Anytime I talk, I always get attacked. And all of a sudden, I didn't like my husband yesterday. I was like, oh, great. Now I got to go talk about how to have a great sex life with your husband. And I'm like, I don't even like mine. So, poor man, poor guy, he's so great. But I'm laying in bed, and this thought came to mind. Focus on the donut, not the hole. I've talked about this with you guys about parenting. Focus on who your child is, not who your child isn't. We do this with our husbands as well. Focus on who they are, not who they aren't. So you know what I did? I had to get out a piece of paper, and I had to force myself to write out 10 things I liked about my husband. I felt much better. I kind of like him now, okay? And what it did is it just helped me go to sleep that I could stand with you with integrity here today. But in terms of being able to move towards, sometimes it is just being able to say out loud to your husband, here's what I like about you. Thank you for going to work. Thank you for helping being playful with the kids or helping feed. Thank you for being funny. Thank you for, being kind to my mom. Whatever it is that you can find, but being able to train our minds to go towards who they are. Us women always want to go to who they aren't. And look at that husband over there. He is really great. How did I end up with this one? And the truth is she's got her own set of issues with him. That is the truth. Okay, hear me on that. Every single couple has stuff. And so you have to focus on who you've said I do to and focus on who he is. Okay, that is going to help your sex life. And if you can't do that, then maybe that's when you start getting help and saying, okay, there's a lot that's not good. We need to get through and work through this, okay? But overall, focus on the donut, not the hole. And a final tip that I want to give you is learn to respect one another's no thank you. It's much easier to say yes to someone when they respect your no. And so if you feel like your husband doesn't respect your no, you guys need to talk about that. And if you're constantly doing the no, giving him the glare, all of a sudden getting grouchy around a certain time, headaches, you're going to bed early, you're wearing your team building exercise shirt all the time just to keep him at bay, all those kind of subtle things, be able just to say no, thank you, but let's try again tomorrow or let's try again on Thursday. That will soften the blow. And he'll want to come back and not just shut down and withdraw. And if he says no thank you, to not take offense in that and be like, oh my gosh, I thought you wanted sex all the time. Men actually are impacted by how tired they are, their own hormones, stress, and how nice you've been to them for a while. They are impacted by that too. So when he says no thank you, you say, okay, we'll try again another time. And sometimes it goes like that for a while. It might be a couple weeks, and we're having to really kind of go, what's going on? Why aren't we connecting? If there's no sex going on, just do a lot of non-sexual touch, okay? If literally we are sick all the time or we are recovering, you're in the 6 weeks to, you know, you've had major surgery from babies and all that, just think of non-sexual touch. That's a good place to stay, okay? And by invitation only, mutually agreed. It's a foundational part of sexual intimacy on a healthy level is when we both say yes. Coercing one another or trying to force or manipulate is a bad habit to develop. And that's that duty kind of, I'm just going to have sex. It creates neural pathways in your brain where you start to hate sex. Okay? So don't give in to that. Make sure you have sex because you said yes. And maybe you're not ready yet. So here's what we do. We say red, yellow, green. Where are you? Red is you're no thank you, not a chance. Yellow is I could be warmed up. I'm going to need a lot of help. It would help if you did the dishes and you put the babies down and I got to have a long bath. And then maybe in about 45 minutes we can try, see where I'm at. That's a yellow. Does that make sense? And a green is everything should stop. You guys better get in the bedroom right now because it's going on right then and there. That's more rare. Just know that. It's very rare. And always clarifying up front, is this a quickie or is this a long program? Seriously, have you ever been in the middle of sex and going, I thought we were doing a quickie. This is way too long. Get, and then the hormones are not kicking in. At that point, you're irritated, okay? So make sure you clarify up front. And that's part of the communication. It isn't as romantic as TV makes it out to be. But let me tell you, when both of your hormones start to kick, that's where God created it, that's where the pleasure and all the excitement starts to happen. But there is a lot that has to go into that before we get there. And that's going to be a more rare opportunity. And one other thing I got to say is that it's very rare that both of you reach orgasm at the same time. I don't know where we got that myth somewhere. But that is a goal for a lot of couples, and that is not a healthy goal. If it happens, seriously, that was like $1 million. Woo-hoo! And part of it is over time learning how to know each other's bodies. That takes years of practice. So you take turns. Whose night is it tonight? Okay. So I'm talking very practically, and it's kind of funny, but honestly, that's how you're going to have a great sex life at this stage particularly. Maybe when there's no kids in the home, you can be more spontaneous and free-flowing. And by then, maybe you know each other's body and you know your own body, okay? But hormones are always changing. So we got to be patient with ourselves. So I want to have, I always go over. But we'll have a few minutes of questions and then I'll wander around into your small groups and answer. I know questions for this topic can be kind of intimate. But the idea is just move towards each other. Whatever it is, take one step. Just take one step, okay? And that it might take a while. Give yourself 2 to 3 to 4 years when babies are coming in and out of your body and you're caring for. But just to know that there's one thing that I could be doing to move us towards having sexual intimacy on a more loving level, okay? So real quick, if you're interested in knowing more, we do lots of workshops and retreats. And so a couple that are coming up, we've got a wholehearted parenting workshop. Roshana Greil is a part of Sprouts here, and she is one of our play therapists at Living Wholehearted and is teaching a parenting workshop. It's a phenomenal workshop if you want, as husband and wife, to get on the same team. And you go over a period of weeks and you get a practice together and it just really builds a common language for you guys as a couple, as well as practical tools. We have the Wholehearted Marriage Intensives. We spend a lot of time with couples. It's just a day and you're focusing in on your wirings, how you do communication, conflict resolution, what drives you, which also helps in understanding your sexual intimacy. We have Courageous Girls Group and Courageous Teen Day Retreats. Those are for, we have a group going for the little girls and for the teen girls, if you know anybody that's interested in that. And then for you guys, to take care of yourself. Self-care is huge in terms of you knowing what you need to feel rested. So the Courageous Women's Day Retreat is actually just focused on that. It's just about you having time, nobody asking anything of you, with the Lord, and you get to just slow down. And it's a guided day prayer retreat, but it's you and the Lord. That's it. Some of you sounds really scary, but it's really a beautiful thing when you get out there and you realize, oh, gosh, didn't realize how tired I was. You can even sleep the whole day. That's part of the retreat. It's awesome. So those are kinds of things that we do outside of just counseling and coaching that we're doing. Okay, so overall, I just want to say that sexual intimacy, healthy sexual intimacy is possible wherever you are on the continuum, okay? So if you've got a lot of hard stuff, just know it just means a lot of work and time, and you got to press into it, but it is possible, okay? And then if you're further down the line and you just are needing one little thing to tweak, hopefully today you can walk out of here and go, okay, Lord, I'm gonna try this, and would you multiply it tenfold for me, okay? And go from there. So before I open up for questions, I'd love to just pray and close with prayer. Lord, I just am thankful that you are the author of our sexual intimacy, that you created it and that it is good. And Lord, I just pray for every single woman in here and anybody that listens, that Lord, you would meet them right where they're at, and that there would be a shift that begins in them to engage and to move towards you and towards their husband, and healing from the past and any hurt that they've had. And so I thank you for your love. I thank you for the fun that this can be too. And I just pray, thank you for all these mommies and the babies and all the gifts that you have given. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.